Reacher leaned back into his sofa and spread his arms wide across the tops of the cushions and straightened his legs.
"Don't you feel anything?"
Blake asked.
"For these women getting killed? Shouldn't be happening, right?"
"There's a million people in the service," Reacher said. "I was in 13 years. Turnover during that period was what, maybe twice over? So there's 2 million people out there who used to be in with me. Stands to reason a few of them will be getting killed, just like a few of them will be winning the lottery. I can't worry about all of them."
"You knew Callan and Cook. You liked them."
"I liked Callan."
"So help us catch or kill her."
"No."
"Please."
"No."
"I'm asking for your help here."
"No."
"You son of a bitch,"
Lamar said. Reacher looked at Blake. "You seriously think I would want to work with her? And can't she think of anything else to call me except son of a bitch?"
"Julia, go fix some more coffee," Blake said.
She colored red and her mouth set tight, but she struggled up out of the sofa and walked through to the kitchen. Blake sat forward and talked low.
"She's real uptight," he said. "You need to cut her a little slack."
"I do," Reacher said. "Why the hell should I? She's sitting here drinking my coffee, calling me names."
"Victim category is pretty specific here, right? And maybe smaller than you think. Female harassment complainants who subsequently quit the service? You said hundreds, maybe thousands. But Defense Department says there's only 91 women who fit those parameters."
"So?"
"We figure the guy might want to work his way through all of them. So we have to assume he's going to until he's caught, if he's caught. And he's done 3 already."
"So?"
"Julia's sister is one of the other 88.
Silence again, apart from domestic noises in the kitchen.
"So she's worried," Blake said. "Not really panicked, I guess, because 1 in 88 isn't bad odds, but it's bad enough for her to be taking it real personal."
Reacher nodded slowly. "Then she shouldn't be working on the case," he said.
"She's too involved."
Blake shrugged.
"He insisted. It was my judgment call. I'm happy with it. Pressure can produce results."
"Not for her. She's a loose cannon."
"She's my lead profiler. She's effectively driving this case. So I need her, involved or not. And she needs you as a go-between. And I need results. So you need to cut her a little slack."
He sat back and stared at Reacher, a fat old man, uncomfortable in his suit, sweating in the nighttime chill, with something uncompromising in his face. "I need results." Reacher had no problem with people who needed results, but he said nothing. There was a long silence. Then Lamar came back into the room, carrying the pot from the machine. Her face was pale again. She had recovered her composure.
"I'm standing by my profile," she said. "The guy's somebody exactly like you. Maybe somebody you used to know. Maybe somebody you worked with."
Reacher looked up at her.
"I'm sorry about your personal situation."
"I don't need your sympathy. I need to catch the guy."
"Well, good luck." She bent and poured coffee into Blake's mug and then walked over to Reacher's. "Thank you," he said.
"You're going to help us?" she asked.
He shook his head. "No." There was silence.
"What about an advisory role?" Blake asked. "Purely consultative. Deep background."
Reacher shook his head. "Not interested."
"What about something entirely passive?" Blake asked. "Just brainstorming. We feel you could be close to the guy. At least maybe close to the type of guy."
"Not my bag," Reacher said. There was silence.
"Would you agree to be hypnotized?"
Blake asked. "Hypnotized?" Why?
Maybe you could recall something buried. You know, some guy making some threats, some adverse comments, something you didn't pay too much attention to at the time, might come back to you, might help us piece something together.
You still do hypnotism?
Sometimes, Blake said. It can help. Julia's an expert. She'd do it.
In that case, no thanks. She might make me walk down Fifth Avenue naked. Silence again. Blake looked away, then he turned back.
Last time, Reacher, he said. The Bureau is asking for your help. We employ advisors all the time. You get paid and everything. Yes or no?
This is what hauling me in was all about, right? Blake nodded.
Sometimes it works.
How? Blake paused, and then he decided to answer. Reacher saw a guy prepared to be frank in the interests of being persuasive.
It shakes people up, Blake said. You know, make them feel they're the prime suspect, then tell them they're not. The emotional flip-flop can make them feel a sort of gratitude towards us. Makes them want to help us out.
That's your experience? Blake nodded again.
It works more often than not.
Reacher shrugged. I never studied much psychology.
Psychology's our trade, manner speaking, Blake said.
Kind of cruel, don't you think?
The Bureau does what it has to do.
Evidently.
So, yes or no?
No. Silence in the room.
Why not?
Because your emotional flip-flop didn't work on me, I guess.
Can we have a formal reason for the record?
Ms. Lamar is the formal reason. She pisses me off. Blake spread his hands helplessly.
But she's only pissing you off to make the flip-flop work. It's a technique.
Reacher made a face. Well, she's a little too convincing, he said. Take her off the case and I might consider it. Lamar glowered and Blake shook his head.
I wouldn't do that, he said. That's my call and I won't be dictated to.
Then my answer is no. Silence. Blake turned the corners of his mouth down.
We talked with Deerfield before we came up here, he said. You can understand we do that, right? As a courtesy? He authorized us to tell you Kozo will drop the racketeering charge if you play ball.
I'm not worried about the racketeering charge.
You should be. Protection rackets stink, you know that? They ruin businesses, they ruin lives. If Kozo scripts it right, some local jury of Tribeca traitors is gonna hate your guts.
I'm not worried about it, Reacher said again. I'll beat it in a second. I stopped it, remember? I didn't start it. I'll look like Robin Hood to a jury of Tribeca merchants. Blake nodded and ducked his head and wiped his lips with his fingers.
Problem is, it could be more than a racketeering charge. One of those guys is critical. We just heard from Bellevue. Broken skull. He dies, it's a homicide charge.
Reacher laughed. Good try, Blake, but nobody got a broken skull tonight. Believe me, I want to break somebody's skull. I know how to do it. It wouldn't happen by accident. So let's hear the rest of them.
The rest of what?
The big threats. Bureau does what it has to do, right? You're willing to move right on into the gray areas. So let's hear what other big threats you've got lined up for me.
We just want you to play ball here.
I know that, and I want to know how far you're prepared to go.
We'll go as far as we have to. We're the Bureau, Reacher. We're under pressure here. We're not going to waste time. We got none to waste.
Reacher sipped his coffee. It tasted better than when he made it. Maybe she used more grounds, or less.
So give me the bad news.
IRS audit.
You think I'm worried about an IRS audit? I got nothing to hide. they find some income I've forgotten about, I'll be extremely grateful, is all. I could use the cash.
Your girlfriend, too.
Reacher laughed again.
Jody's a Wall Street lawyer, for God's sake. Big firm, nearly a partner. She'll tie the IRS in a knot without even thinking about it.
We're serious, Reacher.
Not so far, you're not. Blake looked at the floor.
Kozo's got guys on the street working undercover. Petrosian's gonna be asking who did his boys last night. Kozo's guys could let your name slip.
So?
They could tell him where you live.
And that's supposed to scare me? Look at me, Blake. Get real. There's maybe 10 people on the planet I need to be scared of. Extremely unlikely this guy Petrosian happens to be one of them. So he wants to come up here for me? I'll float him back to town in a box, all the way down the river.
He's a hard guy, is what I hear.
I'm sure he's real hard. But is he hard enough?
Kozo says he's a sexual deviant. His executions always involve some sexual element. And the corpses are always explicitly displayed. Naked, mutilated, really bizarre. Men or women, he doesn't care. Deerfield told us all about that. We talked to him about it.
I'll take my chances. Blake nodded.
We thought you'd say that. We're good judges of character. That's our trade, in a manner of speaking. So, we asked ourselves how you'd react to something else. Suppose it's not your name and address Kozo leaks to Petrosian. What if it's your girlfriend's name and address?
What are you going to do? Jody asked.
I don't know, Reacher said.
I can't believe they're acting like this.
They were in Jody's kitchen, 4 floors above Lower Broadway in Manhattan. Blake and Lamar had left him in Garrison, and 20 restless minutes later, he had driven south to the city. Jody came home at 6 in the morning, looking for breakfast and a shower, and found him waiting in her living room.
Are they serious?
I don't know. Probably.
Shit! I can't believe it!
They're desperate, he said, and they're arrogant, and they like to win, and they're an elite. Put it all together, this is how they behave. I've seen it before. Some of our guys were exactly the same. They did what it takes.
How long have you got?
I have to call them by 8 with a decision.
So, what are you going to do?
I don't know, he said again. Her coat was over the back of a kitchen chair. She was pacing nervously back and forth in her peach dress. She had been awake and alert for 23 straight hours, but there was nothing to prove it except a faint blue tinge at the inside corners of her eyes.
They can't get away with this, can they? She said. Maybe they're not serious.
Maybe they're not, he said. But it's a game, right? A gamble. One way or the other, we're going to worry about it. Forever. She dropped into a chair and crossed her legs, put her head back and shook her hair until it fell behind her shoulders. She was everything Julia Lamar was not. A visitor from outer space would categorize them both as women, with the same parts and the same quantities, hair and eyes and mouths and arms and legs. But one was a dream, and the other was a nightmare.
It just went too far, he said. My fault, absolutely. I was jerking them around because I just didn't like her at all from the start, so I figured I'd tease them a little, keep it going, and then eventually say yes. But they dropped this on me before I could get around to it.
So get them to take it back. Start over. Cooperate.
He shook his head. No. Threatening me is one thing. You, that's way over the line. They're prepared to even think a thing like that, then to hell with them.
But were they really serious? She said again.
Safest strategy is assume they might be. She nodded.
So, I'm scared. and I guess I'd still be a little scared even if they took it back.
Exactly, he said. What's done is done.
But why? Why are they so desperate? Why the threats?
History, he said. You know what it's like. Everybody hates everybody else. Blake said that to me, and it's true. MPs wouldn't piss on Quantico if it was on fire because of Vietnam. Your dad could have told you all about it. He's an example.
What happened about Vietnam?
There was a rule of thumb. Draft dodgers were the Bureau's business and deserters were ours. Different categories, right? And we knew how to handle deserters. Some of them went to the slammer, but some of them got a little TLC. The jungle wasn't a lot of fun for the grunts, and the recruiting depots weren't exactly bulging at the seams, remember? So the MPs would calm the good ones down and send them back, but 9 times out of 10 the Bureau would arrest them again anyway, on the way to the airport. Drove the MPs crazy. Hoover was unbearable. It was a turf war like you never saw. Result was a perfectly reasonable guy like Leon would hardly even speak to the FBI ever again. Wouldn't take calls, didn't bust a gut answering the mail.
And it's still the same?
He nodded. Institutions have long memories. That stuff is like yesterday. Never forgive, never forget.
Even though women are in danger?
He shrugged. Nobody ever said institutional thinking is rational.
So they really need somebody?
If they want to get anywhere.
But why you?
Lots of reasons. I was involved with a couple of the cases. I was locatable. I was senior enough to know where to look for things. Senior enough that the current generation probably still owes me a few favors. She nodded.
So, put it all together, they probably are serious.
He said nothing.